There are schools of thought that believe we have unlimited scope and possibilities for making decisions. The truth is that our scope is somehow restricted and we have less room. It is therefore key that we engage in innovative decision-making to optimize opportunities in our business and our personal lives. We need to understand our decision-making skills as individuals and organizations. This will enable us to adjust accordingly to the constant changing environment. Question: if Jesus had taught at Harvard Business School on these related issues, what would he have to say? My name is Tinike Akinbulamo. Welcome to today's episode of the If Jesus Taught at Harvard Business School podcast. In this episode, we will be concluding the interview held with Adi Ojomo, a management consultant with KUW Advisory Group, on his perspective of the year 2021 based on key benchmark parameters which enable us to determine how the year went for both our personal and corporate life. Fantastic. So what would you say are key areas for improvement? Now, you've spoken a lot about relationships, people.
Yeah.
Is there anything else that you think that there's a key area for improvement for you?
Definitely. There's always key areas for improvement. I spoke about focus and discipline, but I'll drill down a bit further. Learning when to say yes and when to say no. Reason being is that, you know, sometimes doing something which seems right at the wrong time is not discipline.
Yeah. Yep.
Doing something wrong at the right time is definitely not discipline.
Mm-hmm.
And also learning to appreciate stillness. I've downloaded another audiobook by a guy called Ryan Holiday. He's on my listening list for 2022. It's called Stillness is the Key. And he talks about various leaders over the years that have, in the stillness of quietness, I've been able to avert major disasters. An example is the Cuban crisis. You know about the Cuban crisis where Kennedy had to make a decision whether America launches an attack against Cuba or he doesn't do anything. Now, the beauty of, well, I won't say the beauty, the complexity of the decision he had to make was the fact that most of his cabinet wanted to go to war.
Yeah.
With if you watch the film, you should go and watch the film. It's quite a good film. They wanted to go to war. Russia definitely wanted to go to war, but they wanted America to press the trigger.
Yeah.
To give them an excuse. And it tells us that in the stillness of the night, I don't know where it came from. I've been told that they're Catholics, but I don't know where it came from. But it says that in the stillness of the night, the inspiration to give I think his name was Khrushchev. The Russian guy was Khrushchev. In the stillness of the night, he got the response that he needed. Now, if you watch that film, the beauty of the response was that, well, you know, communication is something that, you know, my dream is that, or my prayer is that, you know, especially for those of us that were in countries where English was not our second language, when you see people, I'm amazed when I see people use the art of English, those that know how to use it. But basically, Kennedy said to Khrushchev that, he said basically that America does not want to go to war. America does not want to cause any conflict. But if America is pushed to a situation where we have to defend the integrity and the sovereignty of the United States of America, then we will go to war.
Yeah.
What is that answer? What does that say to you? So it's basically telling the guy that we don't want to go to war. But perchance,
it will respond.
Yeah.
If you should so much as.
Later on, we found out the reason why Russia did what they did was that in the grapevine, they were telling them that Kennedy is a weak president. So they thought they could try him. But with that response, they knew that we were not dealing with a hush puppy, basically. Yeah. And if you watch the film, they withdrew their troops from Cuba. But the learning point of that film was that sometimes it's not violence, because in the stillness of the night, is when is if he had listened to his cabinet, he would have pressed the trigger. But he appreciated the fact that there's some decisions you have to make. Nobody has to be around. It's in the stillness of quietness. You know, he gave examples of Napoleon. He gave, I mean, I'm going to start listening to it in 2022 because I'm still listening to The Psychology of Money for now. But the synopsis of the book is appreciating stillness. I mean, Jesus was a master. The Bible tells us when he chose the 12 disciples, he first of all went away. When he was going to the temptation, he went away. So if you look at case studies in the Bible, the Bible always says he went away into the wilderness. He didn't take the disciples with him.
So
that's it. Focus, discipline, learning to say yes. Learning when to say yes and when to say no. Doing something which seems right at the wrong time is not discipline. Doing something wrong at the right time is not definitely not discipline. And learning to appreciate stillness. And that's where my definition of focus and ponder comes in very handy. Yeah.
Okay. Resilience.
Oh, that word.
Obviously, 2021, a lot has been spoken about resilience because the whole world has had to be resilient.
Yeah.
How would you describe yourself in this area?
Resilience. Everybody's talking about that word. Companies are running training courses on resilience.
Yep.
Our younger generation have been told numerous times that they're not resilient. This is resilient. Okay. I will not consider myself an expert on this topic. But based on what has been happening over the years, it is a key skill that I think needs to be developed, especially by the younger generation. We both have kids, so we know what we're talking about. Resilience is about that. I think resilience is about that staying power to weather the storm and not quit at every challenge you face. I think resilience is about mental strength. We all know that mental health is a key topic now, as we see a lot of individuals, especially the younger generation, not being able to handle the pressures of life. I mean, once the pressure hits, I'm not really having a go at them because I ask myself, the pressure they're facing now, is it much more than what we faced? Or could it be the fact that... not only that, but the way our parents raised us is much, much different from... They raised us with toughness.
Yeah.
Understand in those days. But then they got away with a lot of things that if they tried it now, there'd probably be a lot of, law cases. So you can't really judge any generation. But I quite like the definition of resilience from the American Psychological Association. I think it really encapsulates everything that we're talking about when it comes to resilience. And it's basically what they've said is their psychologist said, resilience is the process of adapting well in the face of adversity, trauma, tragedy, threats, or significant sources of stress, such as, are you ready? Family and relationship problems, serious health problems, or workplace and financial stressors. As much as resilience involves bouncing back from these difficult experiences, it can also involve profound personal growth. So what they're saying is that resilience, in as much as you have all that negativity around the definition about stress and stuff like that, is an opportunity to press against those things and grow. Now, I think where the gap is the growth bit. You know, people say, I quit. Yeah.
So how have you done resilience this last year?
How would I describe myself in this area? I'm learning. There's room for improvement, to be honest. Mm-hmm. I would say there's room for improvement. No one likes stress. But when you take into account COVID-19 and the potential threat that this thing could be with us for a long time, we have to devise strategies on how we handle it. So for those of us that are involved in a job that involves us traveling, we have to basically know that we're going to always do this COVID PCR stuff. We either embrace it or we fight against it. I actually had to ask God for forgiveness yesterday because I kept complaining, these people are making so much money, these people are making... And I thought, no, come on. That's not the way to look at this thing. The way to look at this thing is you know, they have to do it, you know, they have no choice, regardless of whether they're making money or not, they have to do it. And also God was like, you know, you keep saying the blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, don't you have faith anymore? So I had to really repent. But yeah, I think it's one of the things I will be reading books on going into 2022, because it's here to stay. I mean, it's not just COVID we have to deal with. The fact that there could be, I'll talk about that later, there could be implications financially for a lot of us because of the amount of money that the government has had to release to battle this COVID. So, so the question is, you know, we'll talk about it in another segment of this workshop. But as I said, I think resilience is about these stress are going to come. What is my response or reaction to them? And like the Bible says, there's somewhere in the scripture that talks about count everything as joy. That's probably a good scripture, resilience, that whatever you're going through, it's how you go through it.
Yeah.
Because you know? Stress is always going to be there. I'm looking at the definition of these guys, and it's talking about things like adversity, trauma, tragedy, threats, sources of stress, family and relationship problems, health problems, workplace problems. These things are here to stay. Yeah, they're not going anywhere. They're so we better, as they say, man up. or politically correct, woman up now. We might get in trouble. Anyway.
Sorry. Mm-hmm. Okay, now we're going to look at external assessment. So what are the major factors that had an impact on your life in 2021? And please don't say the pandemic. Apart from the pandemic, what are the major factors? Or is that the only major factor?
Everyone, if you were to ask everyone this question, they'll probably say the same thing. The challenges of COVID.
Yeah.
But like we said in the earlier question that you asked me, this thing is here to stay. We need to be resilient. We need to embrace, and we need to have strategies on how we handle it. So yes, COVID has been challenging. I'll leave this one to last. My dad's passing away. I never knew it would have such an impact on me, but hey, you know, there were lessons learned, and, you know, as I said earlier, family getting closer together. But this one, I don't know how to put this one, but my faith has been challenged. I'm trying to put this in such a way that it doesn't sound controversial. I think there's been a plethora of various interpretation of doctrine, you know, social media, you know, that, like I said, now for 2022, I'm just going to have to focus on, of course, my local church is Jesus House. I have to focus on Jesus House. But I've got to be careful what I listen to in terms of, you know, other stuff, because it can probably get you to a level where you're upset and annoyed and you're like, but this thing is so blatantly obvious that this person is not, you know, it's the adulterated word of God. But like I said, it's not for me to be a change agent to jump at criticizing everything that certain people are saying. But it just means that, you know, nobody, just like Abraham, nobody's going to walk this faith walk for me. Mm-hmm. So as Pastor Agu always says, you know, if you really, really want to have a deeper walk with God and understand what thus says the Lord, is the onus is on you. It's a walk that you know, not to sound brutal, it's a walk that you're going to walk on your own.
Yeah.
It's not a walk that you walk with your wife or your kids, but you always remember that in walking this walk, I've got three key roles, my role as a husband, you know, so it will be, what does the Lord say to me, Adeboyega or Jomo, in my role as a husband, not what does Pastor Agu or Doc or somebody else says. It's what is he saying to you? Now, based on the teachings of Doc, Pastor Agu, you know, Pastor Phil, you still need to go back to God and say, what are you actually saying?
Because it's a personal relationship.
Yeah. So, you know, your servants had said this. I'm confused about this. I'm happy about this. But Lord, what are you saying? And then I take that to make my role as a husband what it should be, make my role as a father what it's supposed to be, make my role as an ambassador of Christ. Because then you get the full satisfaction that it is what does says the Lord, not what does social media say or what does you know, you understand what I'm saying. Yeah, so yeah. You understand. So that and then with COVID-19, whereby now the plethora of social media preaching expanded to where everything was, even if you didn't even need to open up your computer, once you opened it up, screensavers and everything. So, yeah. So they had an impact because, especially in the faith level, I was like, am I backsliding or am I front sliding? I'm like, I need to get back into the swing of things. So, I would say those three things.
So what do you think will be the key impacts that you have to deal with going into 2022?
To be honest, the quick answer to that, we spoke a lot about it, but what was interesting yesterday, I watched a film, or would I say, not a film, a Netflix series. Mm-hmm. And it just shows you where we are. And my daughter was telling me about a friend of hers, but I'll talk about that later. COVID is here to stay. You know, We may not like it, but the beauty of it is that some people have not complained about it. They've embraced the change and they say, you know, how do we move forward? So when you watch films now, do you know that they have COVID coordinators for films now? If you look at the credits.
Oh, I haven't noticed.
So they have COVID coordinators for films. And my daughter was telling me one of her friends is one of the chief COVID coordinators. One of her friend's friends is one of the chief coordinator in America for a lot of the film sets. And she's met people like Bruce Willis and some of the stars because they call her now because she said she started at the time that nobody knew that this kind of role exists. So she created as a niche and one of my daughter's friends went to do a 2-week internship there in America on one of the film sets with, I don't know if it was Sylvester Stallone was on the film set. So what I'm saying is that even organizations are beginning to understand that, you know, if this thing is here to stay, we either embrace it or we lose out. So we now have to have strategies, even in the house. I mean, my daughters were talking about a Christmas party is happening tomorrow. They've already sent them emails that they better do their lateral flow before they come. So, you know, people are not complaining anymore. They're like, look, yes, whether this thing exists or not, we don't care, but you will do that lateral flow.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So it's going into 2022. You can't avoid the fact that COVID will play an important. You can't just say, oh, I'm traveling tomorrow. No.
No, you can't. I didn't know I was traveling until the day before I traveled, even though my ticket had been booked months before. It's crazy. It's like a completely different mindset too.
Yeah.
It's just a new way.
You know, if we were to use biblical case studies, the Romans came and told the people in Nazareth or somewhere that you guys were going to do a census. They had no clue. Mm. Those that rebelled, they locked them up, and those that were obedient, they counted them. It's similar. The government have told you that, you know what, we're going to lock down. You can complain all you want. If they're going to lock you down, then you say to yourself, if you're a strategist, you say, okay, you know what? Probability that these guys are going to lock us down in the next 2 weeks is high. Okay, what impact is that going to have on my business? What impact is that going to have on my family? And what impact is that going to have on my business? Simple. So while you're doing that, some people are picking up placards and going around saying, no, no, no. But you know it's going to happen. You understand? Yeah.
So what do you see as opportunities and threats going into 2022? And I'm talking about politically, legally, technologically, economically, you know what I mean? In every area. What do you think?
No, it's quite funny asking these questions because normally I wait for the first edition of The Economist to read everything that they said. But as I said, it's got to a stage that you've got to be responsible for yourself before you enter a new year. So this is my take on those areas you've mentioned. Politically, I think there's going to be a change of guard in terms of those that are ruling the UK. Mm-hmm. Because I think people are beginning to realize that, sorry, this may sound cliche-ish, but people are beginning to realize that really, enough of the lies, the only thing that's going to set us free is the truth. And people are beginning to say things like, you know, we all know the fact that there was a party in Downing Street and we were told not to have any Christmas party and a host of other things that have been happening. And people are beginning to be fed up that, you know, we actually want a government or people to represent us that just tell the truth. You know, it's no more about whether And you can see it in the air. It's no more about whether I'm conservative, whether I'm Labour, whether I'm liberal. No, I think if you sense what's in the air, it's about the truth.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, all this, it's not even about the racism card anymore. It's like, you know, COVID has affected so many families. Financially, so many families are affected. We just want somebody that is going to make things comfortable yeah. for us. We don't care where you're coming from. Just tell us the truth and make this country better for our younger ones. I think it's getting there. So politically, I see a change of guard. I don't know. When I say change of guard, it could be within the Conservative Party. It could be between the Conservative Party and another party. But I think there's going to be a change of guard. I think people have suffered so much over this COVID period that it's now, I don't think it's a case of which party is ruling the United Kingdom anymore, because pretty much all of them are struggling to handle this. It's going to be a case of, it's going to be down to the leader now, not to the party. That's what I think. You see what I'm saying? It's going to be down to the leader. If any of these parties can raise a leader that the people believe in and know he's going to do something, that's where the change of guard will be. So that's politically. Mm-hmm. I think legally there's going to be a lot of lawsuits. I personally think there'll be a lot of lawsuits regarding the way COVID has been handled.
Okay.
I think there will be. You know, people that have lost loved ones, people that have lost jobs.
Yeah.
People are still complaining about the fact that these PCR tests are too expensive. What are they actually doing to be charging that large amount? So I think when this whole thing has settled down, you know, whether they will be successful, you know, if it was in America, yeah, but this is the UK. But I think there will be a lot. I think legally contracts will now change in terms of the COVID-19 clauses that may be putting a lot of contracts. Because you say to yourself, you know, if you've got employees that are supposed to travel to another country, like I give an example where I'm working now. You know, I recently went to another country. Some of my colleagues didn't go because one of them refuses to take the COVID-19 vaccine, and another one says he hasn't taken double jab. So the question is, if that meeting was urgent, I was the only one that went with some of the senior management. Now, the question is, if you're a key resource and you're now saying, I'm not going, and you're sacked, legally, technology. I mean, I'm not a technological guru, but I think artificial intelligence is here to stay. I'm telling you. I mean, I phoned up the other day, and I got frustrated over the fact that I had to pronounce a certain word five times before it moved to the next step. But I think it's here to stay. You can see it in a lot of what we do now. Artificial intelligence. I think it's here to stay. So I think it's going to have an impact on the workforce as well.
Yeah.
I spoke about economically, expenses from COVID means there will be tax implications. And my advice to everyone is start counting your pennies. And the final one, which everybody in Jesus House knows about, ULEZ, in terms of the environment. It's a hot topic. And the major decision for a lot of us now is, do we go electric or do we stay with our non-electric cars? So I think those are the opportunities and threats going into 2022. And I think people should not joke with them, because they will have major impacts. You know, we're at that stage in our lives that we can't ignore all these things. ULEZ is already having an impact on us. £12.50 each time you want to drive.
Yeah.
COVID is here to stay. I mean, if you ask people that travel a lot, how many PCR tests have you done? I mean, by the time they're asking you in Canada now, if you don't have a QE?
I don't know.
If you don't have a pass, you can't go into some stores and restaurants. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. That's it for that section. We're now going to look at organizational structure. What are the plans for expansion and growth in the year 2022?
Easy one to answer. I spoke earlier about the importance of people and relationships. So it will be a year where no man is an island. I probably have to explore partnerships and alliances. I hope I pronounced that well.
Alliances yeah.
with other people that are probably sharing the same sort of vision that I have. So the key word is explore. I may not necessarily engage, but I think it's important that I explore because a lot of people are doing the same stuff that I do. And by exploring, I can gain knowledge from them as well, or I can, you know, form partnerships with them. Because at the end of the day, it's not about me at the end of the day. Yeah.
True.
Yeah.
Okay. You've kind of answered my next question,
yeah.
which is, do you have any key strategic alliances and relationships that you're looking forward to build in 2022? Do you have any specific thinking about?
Nothing yet, but I will be exploring the networking opportunities provided, I don't laugh, provided by social media. People have been begging me, urging me to extend my tentacles of my product service offerings to Instagram and to TikTok. I think I may have to explore that area. I've not been a fan of Instagram and TikTok. I don't understand the framework behind it. So I think I may have to take a training course from the experts. I really can't. I'm not saying it's not a good marketing tool, Instagram and TikTok, but I guess it's something I have to explore on how it can support my business next year, because it looks as if it's the way forward, especially Instagram.
I think definitely you should have a presence there. What you decide to do on there is another thing, but I do think so, because that's the way of the world.
Yeah. So. I think it's, I mean, this question is not even just for me alone. I mean, even if you look at the churches, even governments, ministers, all of them have Instagram pages. All of them are getting involved in TikTok.
Yep.
All of them are beginning to understand that the key leaders for the future, this is the language they speak.
You know what my son said to me yesterday? He went to bed at some ungodly hour. And he said to me, he was just informing me that he's trying to cut down his social media time. So I said to him, I didn't know you were on the phone that long, because generally he's not. He said, I was up till 3 a.m. because I was on TikTok. So I was like, what are you doing on TikTok? He said, Mom, TikTok gives me 30 seconds information about any topic that I want information on in the world. And I thought, okay, that makes sense. Because he was like, literally 30 seconds, I can learn what I want to learn about any topic I choose.
Yeah.
I was like, okay.
Yeah, I mean, but the I won't say the only danger behind those things is that it's not controlled. So similar to when you search Google, you have to have some form of knowledge regarding the topic before you. And that's why you have moderators on a lot of sites saying this information somebody has posted. This thing that somebody has posted may not be genuine. But you're right, on TikTok, I mean, I hear some kids don't watch TV anymore. TikTok is the TV. So for those of us that are running businesses, maybe when we want to do workshops or where we want to do presentations, could TikTok be a beneficial avenue for us to do it? Is there a chance of us diluting our product services, because a lot of my product services is aimed at corporates and professional people.
Yeah.
But then the opportunity could maybe, if TikTok decides to launch a business channel, call it TikTok Business, you know, so one can't ignore this, because the networking power of TikTok, I mean, globally is, you could do a film on TikTok, you know. I mean, some of the stuff, most of those comedies we see in Nigeria, I think they're done on TikTok, those short clips.
Yeah.
So, I will be exploring it next year.
Fantastic.
I will be,
We shall wait to see, eagerly, to see what you
decide. Let's see what happens.
Okay, products and service offerings.
Yeah.
What would you describe as your greatest achievement in 2021?
I would say probably the podcasting series, you know, that we spoke about earlier. The fact that, you know, I haven't been active for obvious reasons since the last quarter, but in monitoring the metrics, the traffic is still flowing steadily.
Yeah,
people are still downloading. People are still listening to the three podcast series, which is good news for me, which just means that going into 2022, I need to build on that momentum.
Yeah.
And like I said, focus, ponder, and not be distracted again. Mm-hmm. Also look into the fact that, how do I build on top of that? So I would say those three. The fact that the podcast series are still up and running, I would say it's an achievement. Yeah.
Fantastic. What would you describe as your lowest achievement?
I can answer that straight away. And it's annoying. The fact that I haven't started writing my books yet.
Okay.
And the fact that a lot of the online training courses I registered for, I have not even attended, not even one. And that's, in fact, even thinking about it alone upsets me. And that's because I got distracted. And going into 2022, because it's one of the avenues, like I said, apart from the podcast, it's one of the avenues that I want to use to, remember the tagline, transforming insights into solutions.
Yes.
And I have to. I mean, it's a low. I don't know whether I should be crying on this one.
No.
But yeah, it's a low.
You've identified it and you've decided how you're going to change it. So that's
why. Yeah, it's a low. Yeah, it's a low.
Well, it's low. The only way is up, eh?
Yeah. But it's fact that I started this whole transforming insight into solution tagline-y thing by writing articles. So I would have thought that I would spend more time on this, but suddenly it's the podcast which came in later that I'm spending more time on. So so hopefully in 2022, with more focus and planning, we should launch it. Yeah. Because remember that my first foray into this was two books that I wrote.
Yeah.
Many years ago. Yeah. In fact, I'm too ashamed to say many, many years ago, because it's over 10, 15 years ago. So yeah, so we'll get back there. Yeah.
Okay. What are the plans to promote and distribute your project service offerings in 2022? So you've already said that you're going to investigate social media. Do you have any other plans?
Yeah, I think social media is definitely on the top of my list, but I'm thinking of I have other platforms that I need to probably improve on, like Twitter. I'm on Twitter. I've got some blogs. So I think social media is probably the way forward, because even when you're invited to speak on a platform, whether it's Zoom or whether it's live, the first place they go to is your social media platform, whether you call it a portal, and they see what you have to offer. So I think the answer is the way forward is social media. I don't see any other platform, even churches, even governments, even the NHS.
Yeah.
Even nowadays, you can't go to your GP. They'll send you a text to say, have you got your COVID jab? Because that's the way the world is going. People that are internet, they're talking that on the internet there's a dark web and things like that. I've never heard of that, but it just shows you that the way forward is social media. I'm even thinking of going on a course. I just bought a book I've written called Digital Marketing, which would be a good read. Because if we're going to do this thing, one has to do it correctly.
And the challenge with social media is that social media is a full-time job. It's literally because it's changing and there's so much out there. So you have to be current. You have to be consistent. You have to be. And I think
I'm actually thinking of maybe one of the things to lift the burden of doing too much too much things at the same time is I may find a young graduate or a guy that is a university and just pay them something to just be my social media coordinator. And he can do all that for me because rather than trying to do it myself, I'll just give him the material and he can sort that out. I'm sure there are loads of them out there. I think, like I said earlier, one of the things that I didn't do too well last year is the fact that trying to do things at the wrong time, and that wrong time, you could get somebody else to do it while you are focusing on something else. So.
Fantastic. Okay, markets. This is the last sector that we're going into. Who were your primary clients in 2021?
I'm going to confess to you. Mm-hmm. This has always been an area in which I sort of struggle. People ask me, who are my primary clients, and stuff like that. And when you look at the three flagship podcast, anybody could really listen to them. But I'm beginning to realize that you need to have a key clientele. I mean, if anyone else tags along, then fine. But even if you're raising funds or you're speaking to people and they ask you that question, you can't say everybody. It doesn't come across as a professional answer. So I think my primary clients are really the professionals, in a way, you know, professionals in terms of senior managers, directors, you know, people that their main task is to make decisions. I won't say leadership, because leadership is different. I tried to explain to somebody that yes, there's leadership. Leadership encompasses the whole genre of leading people. Mm-hmm. Whereas the stuff I do is when I talk about transforming insights into solutions, it's about decision making. That's different from leadership. You know, leadership is coordinating the people to do that. But if you're transforming insights into solutions, you need to be competent on quite a lot of key areas like strategy, negotiation, communication, you know, those kind of skills. Because yes, once I've got the insight, so how do you negotiate? How do you influence people, you know, and stuff like that? So, and that's why I said my primary clients are professionals who are engaged in that kind of thing, you know, who are engaged in strategic decision making, who are engaged in having to influence people or negotiate and stuff like that. So yeah. So that will have to be my answer for now.
Okay. And what are the plans for client relationships in 2022?
I guess similar to what we said about earlier, it has to be social media. I mean, you know, I may, in as much as I'm trying to run away from it, but it you know, as I said, and if it means I have to go on an awareness course on the power and leverage of social media, so be it. But you know, gone are those days when you know those days you say, oh, there's a conference or workshop and you find a hall and, you know, you're expecting 1,000 people to come. Those days are gone. Not I mean, Zoom, I've understood the power of social media that you can actually have a virtual meeting and, you know, loads of people come. And that's why if you look at their package now, they've got Zoom Standard, Zoom Pro, Zoom Business, Zoom This. Because hey, if you got an emergency meeting, somebody just calls me today and says somebody's about to take over your company. You don't have time to do a PCR test to be flying to America to defend your company. You better have a pretty strong Zoom platform that you can talk to the person and say, you know, I don't think you want to take my company over. This is why. And then you present all your stuff all online. Unlike before, where that thing happens, you get in a private jet and you're off to the States or you're off to Nigeria to defend your company. Those days are over. PCR, I mean, worst scenario, you do an express PCR, takes 3 hours. The result may not even come out. You can't even do your locator form unless you understand. So as they say in business, a lot of disruption has happened to our normal way of working. And that's why at the start of this workshop, I said to you, remember, I said, we've got to a stage that Bill Gates, many years ago, he wrote a book called Business at the Speed of Thought. And he said that the world is so volatile that every second the variables are changing and you have to be able to make decisions based on the changing variables. And the same thing with COVID, it's just changed the whole landscape on which we operate on. Yeah. Even if we forget about PCR, today you could be told you're on the red list, tomorrow you could be on the blue list.
Absolutely.
You know, so what are you going to do? Do you complain or do you make sure that your infrastructures at work are robust enough to say, you know what, this country is on the red list, but hey, there's a multi-million dollar deal in a red list country. Are you going to leave it to people that are in the country to do the deal, or are you going to have the perfect Zoom network or Teams or what the other ones is, or Skype to say?
There's different ones, yes.
You know, so you can see that it's about being, and that's where the word resilient comes in, you know. Yeah, we know that these problems are there, but do you have a resilient structure in place to deal with it? You as a human being, do you have the resilient character to deal with these things? Because I tell you, complaining is not the way forward nowadays. It just doesn't work. Even I tell my kids, I said, you know, you come to me and you want to ask me for something, you better present alternatives. What are the options? You want to buy a house? What are the options? You want to buy a car? What are the options? Then I can help. I don't have the bandwidth to be thinking for you anymore. You know, you're over 21. You know, make it easy for me, you know. You give me the options so that the decision making is easy. I don't want to start any decision making for an adult from the analysis stage, you do all the analysis and present to me the options. And then if, you know, if there's a hole anywhere, we can discuss. You know, don't take me back to the analysis stage because you should have done that. And I think it's just the way forward, you know. Decision making now is at the speed of COVID. You know, it's just the way the world is, you know. Yeah.
Okay. So before I let you go,
yeah,
I have four questions.
Yeah.
I've pretty much finished all the sections. So now I'm going to say you are entering 2022 with a new canvas.
Yep.
Can you tell me what you need to eliminate from your life to paint the right picture?
Okay. I mean, we spoke about that earlier. I know it's going to be sacrifices. I think some relationships will have to go. Some habits will have to go. Some, you know, what I used to call my relaxing time habits will have to go. So instead of watching TV now, audiobooks may have to be the way forward. So it's going to be painful. And then I didn't want to talk about the fact that I want to be on the next front page of Vogue magazine. So I need to lose weight. I have to work on that area as well. So it's going to be painful, but it's just the way forward. I mean, if these things are not eliminated, we're going to go back at the end of the year. You're going to conduct this interview and it's going to be the same thing, you know, lack of focus, lack of discipline, lack of order, lack of structure. So,
okay. Yeah. Second thing, what do you need to raise the standards in your life to paint the right picture?
Certain things, standards have to raise. I mean, I definitely know, and not to sound religious, my prayer life needs to move to the next level. That from a spiritual point of view, from a health point of view, I need to be more healthy. Definitely need to raise the standard. I need to read more. I need to go on a few training courses, which I would have never gone in the past. But like I said, the world is changing. I need to be social media savvy. I need to be the one I mentioned earlier about writing books. Mm-hmm. I need to definitely raise my standard of communicating by writing. You know, so the iPhone spoils a lot of our languages. We start using shortcuts and stuff like that. It spoils your English. If I want to start writing books, you can't write a book and be blaming it on the fact that we're in the social media world. Your book is not just going to sell. That's why, incidentally, the likes of the Queen, even our president back home, they all have speech writers because they understand the power of communication. I mean, I gave you a case study of the power of communication of Jesus, you know, when he saved the prostitute. If he used the wrong words, they would have killed him and the prostitute. Yeah.
Okay. Third question. What do you need to reduce from your life to paint the right picture?
Is that one sort of similar to eliminate? I guess it's not, because this one is like reduce.
Eliminate is get rid of, reduce is have less of.
I'll be honest, I think my food intake probably. Reduce. I think reduce and eliminate are probably
close to
tag them together. But let's say reduce. I think reduce and eliminate are probably the same thing. Yeah.
And the last one is, what do you need to create from scratch to paint the right picture?
All the new opportunities we spoke about. The fact that we're in a business landscape that's totally affected. Remember, we spoke about those external environment things earlier, politically. Yeah. It's really being aware of all those things, politically, economically, financially, socially. On the technology side, I want to learn about Bitcoins because I've suddenly realized that we can't ignore this thing. It's coming. Crypto is coming.
Yeah.
So if you don't speak the crypto language, even if it doesn't come, you need to speak the crypto language. So that's something that's going to be new. Maybe if I buy an electric car, that would be something new. If I were to answer these four questions from business and personal point of view. Yeah. I was trying to see create from scratch to paint the right picture. Funny enough is that all these four areas, we've covered it in some shape or form.
Yeah, we have.
But I think what I would say is these four questions, I'm going to just quickly say something. In the first one, you said eliminate.
Yeah.
The second one, you said raise.
Yeah.
The third one, you said reduce. And the last one, you said create. It's quite interesting because the basis of these four questions reminds me of something, a book called The Blue Ocean Strategy.
You are absolutely right. That's where they're from.
Okay. So if it's from the Blue Ocean Strategy, so the whole premise of the Blue Ocean Strategy is what I want to conclude this workshop with, is that a lot of times when we get involved in something, we always want to get involved in things which already exist.
Yeah.
You know, but in the Blue Ocean Strategy, what they're saying is that rather than trying to fish in the same ocean as other people, why don't you create your new ocean? So your new ocean where the fish is new, where the strategies are new. And it says in order to do that, you have to look at where you are now, for example, eliminate those things that are going to prevent you from fishing in the new territory, raise the standards of things that will enable you to operate effectively in the new ocean, reduce those things that will be a hindrance from you operating in the new ocean. So for example, everybody's going from non-electric to electric because of the impact of ULEZ. Now, if that's going to have an impact in the new ocean, you know, it's a no-brainer. You have to go down the electric path. And then the final one is that in the new ocean, there's going to be new opportunities. So embrace it. So by it saying that if you follow those four steps, it sets you apart from the people in the, they call the other oceans, the red ocean strategy. Okay. And it says what eventually happens is that the people in the red ocean now come into the blue ocean. And now, because it's congested, you have to now find another blue ocean. So I think this advice is for every one of us, that we should all go out there and find our own blue ocean, I think. So, yeah.
So that's your final word. Go out there and find your
ocean. Including me. Go out there, find out our blue oceans, honestly. Yeah. In the year 2022, God will give us our new blue oceans, you know,
amen,
where we can operate freely and, you know, and succeed in everything we do. Yeah.
Amen. Well, thank you very much, Ade. This has been really insightful. It has been lovely catching up with you to kind of find out how 2021 went and how you hope that your 2022 will go.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. And I will see you next year.
We end part two of this episode with some take-home points from the discussion around the review of the year 2021. Number one, be honest enough to outline your strengths and weaknesses and devise a robust strategy on how to manage them. Number two, understand the impact and influence of the following factors in achieving your purpose: political, economical, sociological, technological, environmental, and legal. Number three, identify key alliances and partnerships that can support your expansion and growth. Number four, define your giftings, products, or service offerings that will help you to achieve your purpose. Number five, identify the key markets that need to be serviced or benefit from your products, services, or giftings. Number six, raise the standards of your operations. Number seven, eliminate whatever prevents growth. Number eight, reduce your time and resources in activities that add no value. And number nine, create new areas of growth by operating in uncongested blue oceans. My name is Tinuke Akimbulamo, wishing you all the best in the new year 2022. Goodbye and God bless.